And she would look at me with this power as if she could see within me. And I would just shine. My whole body would light up. And I remember just thinking, wow, I really want to do what she's saying here because she believes in me so much. And I don't think I thought it that way, but that was the feeling that she would give me. And by the way, she didn't do it once. It was almost every time she saw me, she would look me right in the eyes as if she knew exactly what was going on with me. And she would just encourage the spirit inside of me in a way that I've never seen anybody do ever again in my entire life.
I'm Janet Ioli, and you're listening to Power Presence Academy, leadership with less ego and more soul. Join me each week as we talk about the deeper and provocative leadership and personal development topics that drive real change. Slow down, react less, reflect more, and lead with less ego and more soul. Let's go.
Welcome back to another episode of Power Presence Academy. I have been receiving so many letters from listeners, emails. It would be nice if they were letters, but they're actually emails from listeners who are asking me so many different questions. So what I thought I would do is I would use these episodes occasionally to answer the questions, because I'm thinking that if one person has a question, then I'm sure others have the same question. And it would be great to use this platform to discuss some of these things that are coming up as you listen to the episodes, etc. So here is a question I recently received. Janet, I loved your podcast. There's so much practical and also important information that you cover. I have a quick question for you. Where did you come up with the name Power Presence Academy? And why is the podcast called Power Presence Academy, leadership with less ego and more soul? All right. Well, I actually thought about this and I thought, wow, I really have never really addressed why I called this podcast Power Presence Academy, since I'm addressing mostly leadership topics on the podcast. Well, I think I would start out with an example of what I consider to be presence. So when I was in middle school, I went to I think I've told you all that I grew up in Athens, Greece, and I went to an American school. And for the middle school period of my life, I went to a Catholic school in Greece. It was English speaking, and it was one of the few English speaking schools. We had left Greece for a little while and came back, and my parents enrolled me in this English speaking Catholic school. Now, mind you, I did not have a Catholic affiliation. However, because it was English speaking, and it was American, a lot of the American children in Greece attended that school. I went to that school. And there was the, I guess you would call her the superintendent, principal, everything. She was everything. And her name was Sister Kathleen. I'll never forget her. She was a nun. And she was the head leader, basically, of the school. And she didn't teach any of the courses, but she knew all the students, and this was 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. So, and there was probably, I would say, each class, it was a very small school. Each class had about, I would say, 70 kids, right? And they were broken up into classes. So, 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th. Well, Sister Kathleen was this remarkable human being because she had this way of making you feel as if you were the only person in the room and the only person in the school. And I'll never forget walking down the halls of the school. And even though I was always an outgoing child, I also was a people pleaser and also very deferent to authority. And so I would get a little intimidated when the principal would walk by or whatever that was about. And we can go into that in another episode. And she would walk up to me and she would look at me And she would look into my eyes and she'd say, "How is my wide-eyed wonder doing today? You're going to do great things. I'm hearing a lot from your English teacher about how good you are at writing and how good you are at speaking. And you are going to do some incredible things. Just keep writing, Janet. Keep writing. Keep expressing those ideas." And she would look at me with this power as if she could see within me. And I would just shine. My whole body would light up. And I remember just thinking, wow, I really want to do what she's saying here because she believes in me so much. And I don't think I thought it that way, but that was the feeling that she would give me. And by the way, she didn't do it once. It was almost every time she saw me, she would look me right in the eyes as if she knew exactly what was going on with me. And she would just encourage the spirit inside of me in a way that I've never seen anybody do ever again in my entire life. So at any rate, that was Sister Kathleen. And to me, that is the essence of power presence. She had an attunement, not just to me, but to everybody, that was so powerful. And she was so grounded in her own skin that she could actually see people and hold space for people in such a dramatically impactful way that it just brought out the best in just about everybody in the school. I really remember her presence being felt by everyone in that school. And then on the flip side, I'll give you an example of another example of presence when I went to college. I hadn't lived in the United States for a while, so I didn't know what universities to pick, et cetera. I was going to a school in Greece, and I ended up going to a school in New Jersey at 17 years old, because my birthday's in December, so I was a year younger than everybody in my class. And I was 17 when I went to college, and I showed up to meet my advisor. Well, my advisor was a man who was very well known at the school. He was like a lead professor in one of the departments. It was political science, because political science was the area that I wanted to study at the time, which I changed, of course, several times. But that's another story. And so I remember going in as a girl coming from Greece, 17 years old, and walking over to his office to meet my advisor about this college experience that I was getting ready to experience. Now, mind you, I had lived in Greece pretty much my entire life, except for a few years where we had come to the United States for a while. And I had been socialized at an international school. So this is a big deal. College is a big deal anyway, going away to college. But for me, it was a really big deal because the support systems were no longer there. I didn't know anybody who was going there, but I also was having a cultural experience of now living in the United States. Even though I had been socialized in American school, it's still a big difference. Anyway, I get to meet with this advisor, and I looked at the note that I had in my folder saying I was supposed to meet him at 10 o'clock. So I decided, of course, I'm going to get there a little bit early. So I get there 10 minutes of. And I walk over, and his door was half open, and I walk by, and I look at him, and he looks at me, and then it's like now it's 5 minutes to 10, and I'll never forget this. He looked up at me, like really with an annoyed look, and he says, "Yes, can I help you?" Those are the words that were coming out of my mouth. Obviously, I felt very uncomfortable, and I said, "I have a meeting with you at 10. You know, I'm Janet," and I told him my last name, Oliver, "and I'm here to meet with you." And he looked at me, his glasses were coming out on his nose, and he looked at me with this look, and he said, "Is it 10? And I looked up at, there was a big clock over the top of his door, and I said, "No, it's 4 minutes till 10. He goes, "That's right, it's not 10. So, of course, I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, I guess that means, so I said, "Oh, okay, I'll wait outside." He goes, "Oh, just come in. Just come on in." very irritatedly. And he gets up and he goes, there's a file cabinet there. And he opens the file cabinet. He says, what did you say your name was again? And I said, Janet Oliver. So he pulls out this folder out of, you know, a manila folder. It has my name on it. He sits down. He lunges back. He puts his glasses back on. He looks at the folder. He goes, well, your scores are not that great. They're average. It's the first sentence he said to me. Your scores, your SAT scores weren't that great. They're average. Now, I'm someone, first day meeting my advisor, and that was his comment. And then I didn't have a chance to say anything because all this defense was coming in my body. I can feel the heat in my body. I could feel being embarrassed. I was feeling ashamed. Oh my gosh, I'm not good. I'm not good enough. And I remember him then going on and saying, yeah, and it looks like you came from a pretty small class. What, you had only 250 people in your graduating class? So all the accolades that you got there, that was a really small class. So now you're in a big league. And so you're going to have to really step it up in order to be successful. You understand that? I'm looking at him. I remember this so vividly. The blood is just draining out of my body. And I'm thinking, I want to go home. I want to get out of here. Who is this guy? Why am I here? Those are the things that are going through my head. And then he said, and you want to study political science? And what do you know about American politics? And I looked at him again, said nothing. I didn't even answer because I was so embarrassed. I felt so ashamed. I felt so unworthy of being there that I shouldn't be there. And then he said, well, anyway, we've got your classes all mapped out. And I just want you to know that you're going to have to work really hard if you want to succeed here, because your grades are great. You were in a lot of activities, but this is a different league. And so you're going to have to step it up in order to prove that you are good enough to be here. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. Those were the words. And that was how he talked to me in that interaction. Talk about presence, right? Talk about unpowerful presence, because it was so devoid of any type of spirit, any type of connection with me. And it was really just like this arrogant tirade of ego that was coming out to a young 17-year-old girl coming from another country, which, you know, I just can't even describe, even now that I think about it, and I think of that contrast to Sister Kathleen, what a difference and what an impact that had on me and what an impact it had on my future. So when I talk about presence, I think that exemplifies presence is the energy you embody. We're energetic beings. And we all embody a presence. And the feeling or experience others have when they are around you is the energy that you convey. And think about power, right? The power is a capacity to act and influence. And he had positional power. Both of these people that I talked to had positional power. So they had capacity to act and influence based on their title. But I think all of us have the capacity to act and influence, regardless of our type. And so when I think about power presence, and I put those two things together, and I look at leadership presence and the studying I've done over the years around what presence is, I would define power presence as the ability to show up in an intentional, grounded, credible, connected, an interpersonally impactful manner ever you are. And you access that power presence by making an internal shift inside you. And it's really being connected to something greater than yourself. I'll even go as far and say it's being connected to spirit, or your spirit on some level, a universal spirit, whatever that is. And I'm not talking religion here. I'm just talking, as if you looked at Jungian psychology, when Carl Jung talks about our higher self, which is connected to a collective consciousness. That's what I'm talking about. And that power presence is accessed by making an internal shift from reacting to our emotions and thoughts and the ego part of ourselves to actually observing and intentionally choosing our thoughts and responses to what is needed in the moment and what is needed by the situation. So that's a real short description of presence. And we could have a really long conversation. I actually teach a class on power presence. But I wanted to answer your question of why I named this podcast Power Presence Academy, because I think what we're looking for is to be able to access that place of power and that powerful presence that exists in all of us when we move beyond our reactive, defensive, egocentric parts of ourselves into more of a soul connection with others. So what about you? How powerful is your presence? How do you make people feel when they're around you? What would people say about how they feel in your presence? Is your presence healing? Is your presence anxiety provoking? Is your presence calm, grounded, and interpersonally impactful? Do you have power presence?
Thanks for listening. And always remember this, every single moment you have a choice in what you say, what you do, and how you make people feel. Pause and make those choices wisely and intentionally, because every single moment, those choices are who you become as a leader. See you next time.